Good morning. It's the 12th of April. Our New Testament reading today is John chapter 4. I'm going to read to you once again from Brother John Carter's book on the Gospel of John. The discussion with the woman at the well has taken place, and now I read. God is a spirit, a word for which it is difficult to find a synonym. It does not mean that God is immaterial. He is everywhere present by his spirit, while he dwells in some central place, in light unapproachable. But since Jesus uses the word also of the acceptable worshipper of God, we might extend the thought in this way. God is holy, so must his worshippers be. He is perfect, so must they be. He is true, so must they be. He is the ultimate reality, and they must manifest those aspects of character which have abiding value, being in themselves all that was signified by the typical things connected with the ritual of the law. These words of Jesus must have provided much comfort for the people of God in times of trial and conflict. Pagan and papal persecutions have driven men to seek the seclusion of dens and caves, woods and other hiding places, that they might worship their God. Marble domes and costly spires add nothing to the worship of God, but have become the mark of departure from true worship. The Father seeketh as his worshippers the humble and contrite, and such are the children of God. When the woman had gone, the disciples, remembering his wearied state when they left him, urged Jesus to eat. But physical needs are forgotten in times of mental stress or elation. The joy of service and the satisfaction attending the response of the woman had taken the place of food for the moment. He told them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not." His experience was unknown to them as yet. His words were not understood. They wondered if others had provided him with food. Looking up at the Samaritans streaming out of the village, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already unto the harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labours." Jesus uses words which recall Isaiah's language concerning the gathering of Zion's children in the day of her exaltation. "Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee." Even then, the Lord himself was realizing the joy of sowing and reaping and gathering fruit unto life eternal. He was the sower, and he called them to be fellow labourers with him. The work is one of toil and sometimes hardship. The clouds and the rain may discourage going out into the fields, but it has to be done at the cost of present advantage and comfort. It may even entail the suffering of present loss for future gain. In the words of the psalmist, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." It is a picture of taking that which the farmer would fain use as food and casting it into the earth. Hunger must be faced and endured, but the harvest will turn weeping into joy. The Samaritans, on this, as on other occasions, made a response which put the Jews to shame. May it be that their response is ours too, as we await the coming of our Lord. Thank you for listening.